I'm Rasa Kay with Your Money Now. Weekly jobless claims are out this hour, a day before the government's August employment report. Economists predict 950,000 new filings for unemployment benefits. Trading platform Robinhood is under the Securities and Exchange Commission's microscope for disclosures around its practice of selling clients' orders to high-frequency traders. The Wall Street Journal quotes people familiar with the matter who put the probe at an advanced stage that could result in a fine of more than $10 million if the company agrees to settle. According to a new study from NBC Universal Advertising Sales, 72% of consumers said they plan to be more thoughtful about the brands they support after the pandemic. 4 out of 5 say they are more likely to buy from and use brands that, quote, help others when it's needed most. The Dow is up 454, passing the 29,000 level for the first time since February. The S&P gained 54 to set a new record, and NASDAQ breached the 12,000 barrier with a 116-point gain. Futures lower.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you thought of having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there's a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool can be heated for swimming in colder months. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on sand level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the sand level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly and another has a new jacuzzi. And there's a large gaming porch with pool table, foosball, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna owner Tim at 791-6400. That's 791-6400. 791-6400.
Get out of debt and get on with your life with Dave Ramsey. 1 till 4 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Today, if I can just speak briefly to it, and I think again, it's a long conversation. It's really my number one initiative. So the idea is that twice a year now, every single Pensacola police officer is going to be required to sit in front of a licensed mental health counselor, whether they want to or not.
This has been a fair amount of time coming. It's great news for the Pensacola Police Department, in my opinion. This is one of the initiatives that Chief Leiter, who was there speaking in front of the Citizens Police Advisory Committee on Tuesday, talked about. Getting all cops in front of a mental health counselor for at least an hour every 6 months. Just to do a checkup. Joining us now, we got Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, welcome back to the program. This is, to me, this is a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, it is. You know, this is one of the things that people ask that we do from this committee is look at the mental health of officers and try to improve that area. And the chief was on board right off the bat with that. And it looks like that's coming to fruition very quickly. Having the officers see a mental health counselor, whether they like it or not, whether they need it or not, every or twice yearly. And that's a good thing. And I think most of the officers are on board with that.
And, you know, Chief even mentioned that, you know, a lot of the guys who are resistant and say, I don't need that, I don't want to do that, they're the ones who sit down and they sit for 2 hours, you know, because they find out it's valuable and they want more because they realize how good it is. That was his own experience, too.
Yeah, you know, I was one of those guys that didn't want to do it. I had an experience that I went through, and as soon as you sit down with these people, you realize they're not bad folks. They actually know what they're doing, and they're able to help. So you want to be there a little bit longer and receive that help. So it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that you need to do for yourself, your family, and your coworkers, and your community.
Yeah, and I mean, as he mentioned yesterday, look, you know, mental health, depression, PTSD, all of these things that can certainly affect police. They're all different, but they can be interconnected. That's one slice of the equation, right? You know, saving officer lives, but also an officer who, winds up doing something horrible, as he said, the other day, one officer can completely ruin a profession or a department. You know, look now, the whole United States is in turmoil because of what one officer did in Minneapolis. And, so identifying problems, preventing problems, and saving their own lives from taking their lives. These are serious issues in modern policing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's been overlooked for far too long. A lot of that began in the military. The military's been doing it for a long time, and now it's coming over into police work, which when you think about it, it's one and the same. It's just that, we stay in the country and do our jobs here, but it's a lot of the same issues are with the police that the military has as well.
Hey, I wanted to ask you another question that came up during the CPAC meeting on Tuesday, Citizens Police Advisory Committee meeting, is, we keep having this issue of, I don't like the term defund, I think it's inaccurate, but reallocate, reduce funding for the police in order to provide more funding for example, mental health or mental health counselors. Chief Leiter was very clear, please don't do that from our budget, but yes, go ahead and fund, but add to, don't take away from. Because that's the idea, right? You want the stuff, but it can't come at the expense of officers.
No, it's kind of confusing to us to, wondering why that the police budget should provide mental health training for the citizens. We're not real sure where that comes from, and there's other places that funding can come from, because if you begin to start cutting funding from the police, the payroll and equipment are huge parts of that budget every year. And if you start cutting that, then the first thing the police department has to cut is training. And folks are wanting us to get more training. So you're kind of, this is a bad way to put it, but shooting yourself in the foot if you go and cut funding from the police department, because it's ultimately going to affect training.
Yeah, and it's not going to produce better outcomes for exactly the situations that you want to improve if you reduce the things that are likely to improve it. It's a weird way to look at it, and I don't know why people are hung up on that exactly. In other news and kind of the what's been happening recently, we have had a couple of shootings, Pensacola Village, and then last night we had one on N Street, right?
Yeah, we did. This is another shooting from a moving vehicle into the area of a house, and it hit a man outside. And folks in the community need to be outraged at this, because sooner or later, if this keeps up, a bullet is going to hit someone innocent, which we've seen before, and sooner or later it could hit a child, which we've also seen before. And that should outrage the people that are in these communities, the people that know who these shooters are, and they should do the right thing and let us know who they are so we can get them off the street. If they choose not to do that, fortunately, we have excellent detectives that are going to stay on this case, and they're going to catch up with these guys. And there's three ways that this ends. They can just stop the shooting, which is highly unlikely, but that's what we want to see. Or our detectives are going to catch up with them. They're going to go to prison. And the third way is that they end up in a funeral home, and we certainly don't want to see that, but that's reality.
When I see on social media, one of the reactions that I see from Pensacola Village, for example, or other places where are, high poverty, higher crime, typically more black neighborhoods, I see people have the reaction like, man, it's just nothing you can do. These are sort of failed areas. It's just, it just is how people are going to be. And I always think, but there are so many decent, innocent people who live in those areas, and it's not an option to give up. It's not an option to just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it, right?
Yeah, that you say that, and then you go and walk through these neighborhoods and talk to these people, and there are so many, many great people that live in those areas that have no place else to go, and those are the ones that we're concerned mostly about, them and their children.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's sometimes the people that you are protecting weirdly get lost in this conversation, and I don't know why that is, but sometimes that perspective gets lost. Anything else that's happened in the last day or two that we didn't already know about, Mike?
No, that's it. We're hoping for the rest of the week to be quiet.
Outstanding. Well, I have a different question that I wanted to ask you about. It's not, your police business, but it is a kind of, like, I have an intuition about this. We talked about this earlier. But before I get into that question, let me get Davis Allen in here with a quick traffic on the fives.
Well, still seeing those delays, Davis Highway in between West Florida Hospital and Ferry Pass Elementary, mainly affecting southbound traffic. Also, Mobile Highway showing slight delays in the area of Beulah Elementary. This is over in between Klondike Road and Beulah Road. If you see anything else, let me know at 2626. 1-800-586-1111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So back to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I don't normally do this with you, but I want to play you a clip from the president that's gotten a lot of attention this week, and then I want to talk about it with you for just a second. This is a bit of his conversation with Fox News' Laura Ingraham the other day.
Shooting the guy in the back many times. I mean, couldn't you have done something different? Couldn't you have wrestled? You know, I mean, in the meantime, he might have been going for a weapon. And, you know, there's a whole big thing there. But they choke. Just like in a golf tournament, they miss a 3-foot
putt. You're not comparing it to golf because, of course, that's what the media
said. I'm saying people choke.
People panic.
So this comment got a lot of attention for exactly what Laura Ingraham predicted, that people were fixated on the issue of comparing police shooting to golfing. I think he's exactly right, and that's why I wanted to check my intuitions against you. It seems to me like the whole notion of you train, but until you actually get into the situation, you can't know what's going to happen. But that's still why you train, is to give you the best chance of success in that situation. Am I missing something here?
No, you're not, and he's right. You know, we train police officers every chance we get and every day and for many, many years to react to a certain situation to where you have to make a decision in a split second. And we hope that they make the right decision. But the fact is, nobody knows what anybody, including police officers, are going to do until they are in that heated situation. They have to make that split second decision, and we'll see. But police officers are trained to shoot center mass and to shoot until the threat is gone, is eliminated. And that's what happens in these situations. A lot of people don't understand. And Andrew, I'd like to also say that, you know, the Citizens Police Academy, we've had simulators that we put normal citizens in. We put them in our shoes with weapons. There's a scenario is put on a giant screen and they are the officer. And more times than not, when the situation becomes bad, they choke and they're able to see, oh my, I had no idea that I would do that, that I would freeze up. And that's reality.
And I've seen other videos, and again, you tell me if this has not been your experience, but you put people in that situation who are very anti-police, think police are overreacting, and they're the ones who shoot the quickest, you know, before policy would justify it. You know, you see that all the time, too. And that, I'll tell you a funny story. They'll just take a second. But I actually had a friend who's a really well-trained in martial arts. We were having this conversation. It was actually yesterday. And I don't know how it all happened, but we got into talking about, actual chokeholds, you know what I mean? And where you put your forearm up against somebody's carotid and you choke them out. And I said, I know how to get out of those. He's like, I bet you don't. And so I said, well, let's try it. So, because I used to take martial arts, and we studied this, and I'm pretty good. But it's been like 20 years. And so he put one on me, and I wilted. I didn't. I failed. I tapped out. I did nothing. And I thought about everything. Like, I know to headbutt. I know to stomp a foot. I know to use my elbows to the rib cage. I know to do all kick out and pull them down. I know all the. And in the moment, even with a friend, is like, man, I forgot everything. But that's real life, right?
Yeah, that's real life, and that's why we train as often as we do over and over and over again to make sure the officer can react in that situation without forgetting training. It just happens. And once again, this is why one reason why we don't need our budget cut, because it's going to affect training. So, yeah, you're right. You can do it, but you have to do it very often and become proficient with it in order to make it work right.
And again, why, you know, you got to train. If you got a concealed carry, you got to train with that weapon over and over and over again. Even when you think you know it, you don't know it anymore if you haven't done it recently. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for PPD. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for spending some time with us and for doing what you do. We appreciate your work.
Thank you, Andrew.
749 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew.